Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, let's stop that music. Okay, so I learned how to push a button there. It's always been interesting that as long as I've been doing the show now for almost 3 months, I'm still forgetting to push a button or two. Well, I had to reach up and turn the fan on. It has been a warm day here in the Tucson, Tombstone, Arizona area. I had a gal call me from Sacramento today and said it was going to rain tomorrow. I feel really bad that I'm enjoying this warm weather. And I had to dig out some shorts and a couple of weeks ago and put the shorts on. And I wish you all the best of evenings. I've turned the fan on just a little higher speed. Isn't that terrible to have to admit to that? We had an interesting night tonight. I had a couple of emails, and there's a couple of ladies out in the audience who were really interested in becoming intuitives and psychics. And it wasn't like they questioned about being a medium. They thought they were. And but they weren't sure if they were receiving information. And I think one of the gals is even one that has gotten into the chat room and said, so if I want to be a medium or control my gift, why don't you talk about this? And I went, so there you are. So that's how tonight's topic got started. I want to reach up here one more time and get the fan, ladies and gentlemen. Just let me reach up here and do that. Okay, so that's what tonight's about, is the journey of discovering what the gift was and that I did have it and willing to step up to the plate and say, okay. Being a psychic was really a shock. I'd always had this, what we would refer to in the 80s, or 70s and the 80s when I was a young wife and mother. Well, how did you know this? Well, it was really easy. For some reason, the impression that came upon me or the sensation of well, I know this versus that. I was going to bring the dinner or I go to the store and what I wanted at the store wouldn't be there. There was a few times when I had a sense of impending disasters or danger. And those of you who have read my book, I wrote it in 94, and it was a encapsulated, very short bio, but of experiences that I encountered with clients that demonstrated not my ability, but the new awareness of this action. One of the things I wrote into the bio, and it goes way back until Northern California, I think it was, I was pretty young, in 1973, my sister, who had come in from out of town, had flown in and wanted to visit with me. And one of the things that Bonnie, my sister, who now lives in Sasquatch Island area north of Seattle, she liked it so. And she had been to a fabric store clear across town by the old airport. So we went over there, and we went to the clothing store. And next door was a ice cream parlor. Now, those of you in the audience in 1973 that were familiar with Northern California, there was this terrible plane accident, and this vintage airplane had taken off across the street. And though people had told me the story, in fact, one of the men who came to the scene afterward was a fireman that got more details and later relayed to me that he had the old vintage plane, and he had rebuilt it, and it was his pride and joy. And as he took off, the power quite not got fast enough for him, and he bounced across the intersection and went right into Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor. Well, leading up to that, we had gone next door to the fabric store. And after we got done, my three-year-old daughter in tow, and I was then pregnant with my second child, and I did get pregnant in 72, so it must have been 72, September of 72. And my son was born in March of 73. Anyway, we had gone into the ice cream parlor, and those of you who have memories of that, you go in the front door, and to the left was the checkout counter. To the right was the birthday party at the picnic table. And we sat, if you kind of flowed and looked up front, there was a counter with the kids in the back were making the ice cream. And the first table to the left is where my sister, my daughter, and I, and we ordered the ice cream, and we just had the ice cream delivered to the table. And unfortunately, we now had two or three bites, and I started to perspire. I had sense dread of getting home. And we up and left. And my daughter, St. Louis, was very upset. And at that time, I was driving a 63 Volkswagen. when I jumped in the car and headed on Franklin Boulevard to the freeway. And that clearly was the biggest turning point in my life. My daughter, and we didn't have seatbelts in those days, she was jumping up down the back seat, which I was trying to control. And I looked up, and I was angry with her for standing up. I wanted her to sit down. And she was looking out the window and in the back mirror. And then I pulled over and looked, the big bellow of black smoke. So when you've had an experience like that in your life, you have to sit back and acknowledge that something greater than you is going on. And I thought it was just amazing luck. Of course, looking back, that was clearly the indicator that something was going on, that I had a profound gift. Not to lessen the idea that most mothers know this carrying a boy and a girl, but in those years, we didn't have ultrasound, and I knew that my first child would be a girl and the second child would be a boy, but to a greater degree. And I knew the next day after they were conceived, and it was certainly a long 9 months both times. But I see the chat room is going, hello, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have my glasses on to look. So when I'm sitting too close and talking about these life experiences, but getting on, because I do want to spend about 20 minutes, I'd like to have a little bit more time with my ladies to call in, because I think that we're missing out in people's voices. And I promise to put my glasses on real quick. But anyway, getting on. So life took its course. And when I came to realizing it was psychic, and I was labeled that in the Spiritist Church, I then remember all these life experiences. It was quite profound, from falling off a horse and getting up and knowing, and later on a bobcat was known in the area, to coming around a corner running and knowing a rattlesnake would be in the way, to an incident where my son hurt his fingers. And I remember thinking I needed to run out and watch them, but I hesitated. And while I was hesitating, he had an injury. So there's all these things I remember. So when I started the Spiritualist Church and I recognized the gift, and they said they believe in the continuity of life, and that's later I got my ministry through Spiritualist Church. One of the things they wanted to know was it possible that I could communicate with spirit people? And of course, that was the first thing in my mind. At that point, I hadn't decided, May 4th, 1990, that I would investigate continuity of life. I was just kind of curious what psychic was. And I was there maybe a month and a half, and they were speaking to me that spirit people, we survive, and this energy could be presented to us. Well, I had been getting short little messages up to that point, but I don't remember seeing it with clarity. So this is where our little class starts tonight. While I was growing up, and this is what they wanted me to remember, while I was growing up, did I have impressions of other people around or other children playing with me? And I had this odd visual thing. I was born with what they call the lazy eye. And nowadays, kids put the patch over it, right? And I was in school, and I always sat in the front row because I could never see as clearly as other children. But what was also going on, which made me doubt my vision, was that I was also seeing bubbles in the atmosphere. And if any of you have read Emanuel Swedenborg, he wrote 19 volumes. He used to see these bubbles also. And then one day he was visiting a friend's house whose elder had passed away. He saw the bubbles come to the front door, and remember, he was sighted. And when they crossed the threshold, he then saw them as his man's relatives in a spirit form. And when I read that in print, I went click, click. From that day forth, I was starting to see shades and shadows. So sometimes the easiest, fastest way to get into that mode of seeing is acknowledging that you've had unusual experiences and reading other people's life experiences. I aligned myself with Eileen Garrett. Eileen Garrett had an invisible playmate as a child. She would see all kinds of energies and balls and orbs and all kinds of things, and she was very interesting to read. Arthur Ford, remember, I'm coming one generation back. Lisa Williams, of course, is fabulous, and she's also very young. So all her life she's been seeing people. Well, now I realize I had, but I denied it. Remember the class I taught you on how to see ghosts? I said your brain, which it will not accept, will not see. So when I was in the Spiritualist Church and they were saying, now let's see if you can see spirit people, I resisted. Then they reminded me what kind of stories you remember thinking that there was something wrong with you. And I remember telling them that I would see a distortion as though I've seen a ball. And an egg shape. and sometimes it'd be ribbed like a ball of silk from a butterfly. Over in China, you have silk, and it's made from the cocoon, actually. A cocoon is made from a caterpillar, and that silk is formed. Well, if you can visualize a ball of silk before they unravel it and make it 3 to 4 feet tall, this I was seeing all my life. I would see my dolls and cars and go places and do things, and absolutely would be right there. So then when I was in the spiritual church, they wanted me to understand this was a natural process. So accepting it is the absolute first, not being afraid. As with Char, if she's listening tonight, hello, dear. I haven't looked close enough. Hi, Pisces lady and Sal and everybody. Oh, ghost busting group. Yay. So what I'm speaking to is that when you accept the possibility of survival, and if there's survival, then how do they present themselves? And then you get to a place of saying, I'm now in awe and not in fear. Now I'm curious and I'm yearning and want to know. Because remember, I got into the spiritualist church in that arena to have a discovery presented to me and then to search for the proof of soul survival. So becoming a medium, remember this class is how it started and how I was awakened. First off, you have to look at your experiences. What are you getting? Now, you young people that are writing in and call in, hopefully, 20, 30, and 40-year-old group, you come from a generation. I've been in this 20 years now, professionally. And you have to appreciate that you now have the acceptance of learning that you can become a psychic and a medium. And that it's opened. What's this there? MySpace. Oh, you got some good. Got some places on here. I can look up other blog sites. Thank you very much. And is the Cookie Diva on here tonight, too? Anyhow, accepting that the psychic world is part of our coexistence with other dimensional arenas, then accepting the fact that we survive death and that they coexist with us is the first thing you need to do. And also, any book that you can read that speak to survival and that they coexist with us is absolutely a must. You can't live in a vacuum and expect the world to be shown to you. It's like at our present level of evolution. If we jumped ahead 100 years, what would they know we don't know that we cannot understand? So our coexisting with multiple dimensions of parallel universes, we're just now accepting that idea. What if we had a machine where we could then watch other universes coexist with us, which is part of our future? We're going to have webcams that are going to be fabulous. They're going to kind of peep into other worlds and other dimensions. And that it's only the beginning. I don't think we can coexist and live in different dimensions of different parallel worlds, but we will have access to communication. I think it's only a very, very short time, but before, remember that terrible, awful movie called White Noise? Well, I think there's going to be, the Black Box. I don't know about the Black Box on Coast to Coast AM, but this gentleman says he can communicate with spirit people. Now, I'd like to back up because I'm talking quickly, but I want to cover for that person that wrote me, and if it's, I don't know if it's Jen or Jennifer or somebody else that asked me about this. To be a psychic reader, you have to know who you are. To be a medium, you also have to know who you are. For you to get psychic information from somebody, that which you as describe your personality and you has to be different from the person that is trying to communicate to you. Through the reading of objects, holding something in your hand, relaxing, accepting information, interpreting it, and give it back to the person who's handed it to you is a good way to control the gift to always turn on and turn it off. The same with mediumship. Okay, so when you read an object, you read it in the present now, it's in your hand. To read a person, you have to blend with that person or you have to blend with room to see who's there. It's hold the energy, put it into the room. If you're constantly on the on switch, you will not get people because you're always worn out. So I save my energy, and that's really important. Then when I do a reading, I can turn it on and I can blend with somebody, sweep into the room and come back. Now, I've made it sound difficult. So I want to back up here and make it really clear. When people think about me, I've gotten to a place here where I know when someone's in a good mood or bad mood, they're going to call me. The other day, oh, gosh, it's been a while. Somebody really anxiety and was calling me. When she talked to me, her voice was very sharp and very curt and very whoa, whoa, whoa. And I just knew it wasn't going to be a good match. We started talking, and she actually blocked me, and I said, this is really amazing. So we didn't finish the conversation, but I knew she was calling me because I also got agitated and sharp. I'm so easy to be around. So when I get anxious or anxiety-ridden, I know it's someone trying to connect with me, okay? And I always admit and I acknowledge that not everybody's a perfect fit. What she was looking for was someone to tell her what she wanted to hear and not what was supposed to be told to her. And I just knew that instinctively. So when you blend with people, you are discern you from that person. So when a spirit people trying to communicate to you, they're going to vibrate at a different level. When that energy touches you or you touch that person, you know that you've touched a barrier. So I resonate or I move my energy at a certain rate. I know who I am and what I'm about. If I were to color me, I'd probably fill polka dots because I like polka dots. Make every polka dot a different color and make it bright and merry. Make it sparkly. Now, if I went and touched a plaid, someone like red and blues and greens versus red, blues, and blacks, that would feel different to me. So when you blend with an energy that's different than you, you know you're touching somebody. When you're touching somebody and you're getting an impression, the difference between male and female is important. How will you discern that? How do you know who you are versus your child? If I said to you, touch somebody you love, a man, a woman, a father, mother, your lover, a husband, a wife, a child, when you blend with that person, there is an energy that says masculine or feminine. And it's not a soul to have a masculine or feminine gender as much as a personality trait. I believe that we are accumulation of a lot of lifetimes, and that personality trait gives a masculine or feminine. When a spirit person wants to acknowledge as being in your client's space or around you, they will allow you to have a sense of masculine or feminine. So you need to learn the differences. And, of course, within male, there's the softness and the hardness, and with a female, there's the softness and hardness. It's always going to be that way. When someone asks me about a spirit person, I will always know if it's a man or a woman. 99% of the time, I don't get it wrong. Now, if you have a child around you, and it's a little boy with a little girl with a boy haircut, or is it an era where boys have long hair, of course, it could be a little problem, especially if they're young. So those are things you need to understand is gender. Now, I'm talking quick. You can always go back and download this, but these are the primary, the first beginnings. All the while you're blending and trying to get information, you have to be in a sense of awe. Now, someone in the audience said, what about protection? Absolutely. Before I do a reading, I am in a sense. I have a sense of myself always being in the present with the divine order. Okay, so you have to get to that place. And in my book, the spirit people gave me a prayer, and you can access it. I think it's on my website, nancymaps.com. In a few minutes, get your pencils out. I'll give you the call-in number so you don't have to look on the switchboard if you don't want to. And it's, I have the highest vibration, the purest of mind, a child of light, a child of God. Nothing can hurt me unless I believe it so, and that's the key. If you believe you are protected, you believe you will not be blended or taken over by any vibration or anybody of a lesser level than you, then you are protected. Okay, so you always have to keep that in perspective. But not to confuse you with trying to do your readings, okay? And it's very tiring to be a psychic. It's very tiring to be a medium. So if I said to you, when you first start out, go real slow. Build a foundation of reading people by reading psychometry. And as you do so, allow a spirit person to touch your life force with theirs. And that's how it starts. When I first started doing a lot of readings, I would get kind of a pressure on the side of my face. So on your body, there's some people, and I just talked to somebody who gets pressure on their shoulder, that there's a spirit person around them. I used to get on my cheek. And I would talk for quite a few hours, and I'd notice that above my right ear, inside my brain, it would heat up. So my communication center must be on my right side. You're going to find that when you tire in different ways than you would if you left the job. That's your key that you're touching a spirit person. So kind of watch. How, not that you tire, but where you tire. And that puts you in that state. When I first started being a reader, my vibration, of course, being a reader, you're going to find your metabolism speed up this a little bit, that when I touch their people, the energy that it takes to read them is different than reading an object or reading someone's time. You speed up faster. Okay, so when I was in the mode of doing psychic reading for somebody, entering their time or reading an object or a photograph or a pen or whatever, but reading a spirit person jetted up my vibration. People say I have a high energy. Well, I think all these years of doing this, I'd like to give a plug for California Haunts. They have a blog talk radio show here, and Shar and I are putting together a radio show for Sunday at 5 o'clock. I think it may be on a go for this coming Sunday. If not, it will be the following Sunday. So watch both our sites. We will talk exclusively about ghosts and spirits and may even have debates. So it'll be very fun. But bringing her up made me realize I needed to, because you can also participate in ghost conventions and ghost hauntings in Northern California. But the reason I brought them up is that because I do this, I had to identify my purpose in doing this. If you go blatantly ahead and you don't take care of yourself, reading objects and being psychic for somebody is really fun. It's really gratifying. It helps people. That next level is awe-inspiring for you to prove existence of survival to someone that needs that for healing, confirmation of survival. You better be real clear who you are. That foundation is the key to your being secure with yourself to be able to reach and describe and get any information at all. It could be a little one-word confirmation of, I have a spirit person here who lost his front tooth and he wants me to see the face so you'll know it's great-grandpa. Or there's a confirmation of, I died in a car accident, you are a child, but I still love you. Those are very important, and you need to speed up your energy to get there. So in that respect, for those who are wanting to become mediums, you get yourself into a practice program because it will be tiring. You want to start out slow. If you can get into any kind of investigative group where you are exposed to spirit, not all are negative, some are kind of interesting, that exposure will take away from you the fear of touching them. You'll be lending yourself to wanting to hear. And I feel like that's very key to what I do and how I do it. I think I could say probably every day, except for Wednesday, which is normally my day off, I talk to somebody about a spirit person every day. So the constant practice of not just psychic readings, but of spirit communication gets you to a level where it's commonplace for me because I'm never afraid anymore. Well, hello, everybody. Pisces lays out the paranormals. Oh, hello. All my good friends. I put my glasses on so I can see them. My keyboard, the chat room, and I have 37 minutes left. I've really covered this fast. The key to it, of course, I have a book that helps a little bit, but relaxing, knowing who you are, practice pulling energy in and releasing it by doing a reading and doing psychometry is a wonderful, wonderful way of beginning to be a psychic reader. Psychometry or tarot reading. I start with objects. Within a couple of months, I stopped using objects because I realized I was blending with the individual. The next step was to blend with the individual and through the individual to the room to see who was with that person. Knowing who you are as a human being to define that information you get is not you. It's clearly the best way to understand being a psychic reader. To be a medium, you have to be in a state of awe and humble and practice every day getting information so you can interpret it correctly. I had one person who was said to be a psychic reader, and I do give information if someone wants to study under me, and actually got too afraid to do it, and she backed out. And the reason is that she says, I can do little tiny words here and there, but the response really was too great for her. She said, I think people were relying on me to a great extent, and I was afraid I was interpreting it incorrectly. So she turned it off, actually turned it off. I would like to give out the guest call-in number. We're having an awful lot of fun with these blog talk, and hour is almost too short a time. So by expanding to this Shar, California Haunts, I think it's California Haunts too. If she's in here, make sure she tells me better. But I'll have her on my Nancy Matt's website. Gives us another forum. That will be Sunday night, and I'll put on my website so that don't most mediums know going into that they have the gift. No, absolutely not. I know mediums who were receiving information, and then they were discovered to have the gift. And I know people who've turned it down. Just like I said, this woman, it's been a while. My 50-ish, I think she was, brown hair, and she said she just didn't want the responsibility. A lot of people who don't practice it want to be it, and you can become a medium. It's just to a greater or lesser degree of receptability, Pisces lady. It's really a big responsibility. I think it scares some people. When I got into this, no one said to me anything about, can you do this? I just discovered I could, and I was so elated to think that something was possible after death. I jumped right in. I was seeing, as soon as I realized that the balls of energy I was seeing, kind of you took a piece of glass and put water on it and then held it up and then swayed it back and forth, it distorts space. Spirit people tell me they know what I am because I distort their space. It's kind of interesting, kind of like backwards, that the energy off me is different than everybody else. Pisces, it does come with a lot of responsibility. Like I said, it does, but I was so excited to think that I could help people understand survival. When I got cancer at 39, at that time in my life, the idea of survival was not part of my vocabulary. So I was very happy to find that I could do this and help those who got into cancer or distress of life to understand that we do survive. So that's why I jumped right into it. Let's see. I would feel if God gave me the gift, he would want me to use it. You would have to see your Pisces lady. This is very cool. You're talking to people who do this. You're into Blog Talk, the paranormal, the spiritual. You're already there. That's why I'm speaking to you. You have the gift. You would like to develop it. You want to do more. And if you're patient, you're going to be turning the switches on so that you can see and receive information from spirit people. And spirit people speak to me. They desperately want to be acknowledged because they want our loved ones to know that they have survived and health. I have people call me and they say, we just want to know this person went to heaven. Wow. Or that they're happy or that they're content with their afterlife. So it's not like they want a lot of information. They just want to know that that person is still surviving. So the key is, if you can get any kind of message, I'm very visual. I'm a practicing artist. I got my pencils out the other day. I'm going to start drawing these again and get into a place where I feel comfortable. Again, the practice is very, very important. So I can draw what I get because they know that I'm very visual and I can give a lot of small detail. Remember, was it week or I think it was Wednesday night, Char had me on as her guest, and we had six people call in, and I gave very good details. I like to be detailed. A lot of people don't. I do. So I'm very visual, and I like that detail. Lou Diamond, you know what? You kids are so good at typing. You know, all that abbreviation. I apologize. I've seen spirit people, that Blue Diamond, if I've read this right, I've seen spirit people and knows they've tried to tell me stuff, but I asked not to have that gift because it scared me. See, Blue Diamond, it's absolutely true because what if you get information and you can't get it quite right? What if you understand it and it's not what they meant to tell you? So absolutely, and no, I respect that. At this time, maybe next year, all of a sudden you get stronger and you want to do it. Absolutely. Pisces lady, I place a lot of faith in God. I feel God only gives me what I can handle. Oh, my gosh. There's 200 or 300 phrases that handle that. God won't give you what you can't, how many mountains you can climb, and, you know, all that. I have a lot of faith in the universe. Universal God, whether we come any God from any culture, it's all the same God to me. We just call him different. And over my lifetime with the cancer and all the things I've been through, I only look back at being grateful that I survived it. But without those challenges, how would I have gotten to the place I'm at? Now, clearly, being a psychic medium, I left 24-year career specific bail to this full-time as a manager, and I had as much money as I needed, but it wasn't satisfying. It wasn't so fulfilling, and what I needed, they were never going to give me. And I had, oh, this is terrible. Oh, my gosh, I hope Pacific Bell people aren't listening. I at one time remember thinking, you know, all I had to do is show up at work and they're going to give me a check every 2 weeks. Now, even though that was going to be a cool place to stay, I could have retired 4 years. My soul said no. I just had the sense that there was something I needed to do. When this was brought to me, it took me 2 years and then I left. And one other supervisor, another woman said, I never knew anybody to want to quit Pacific Bell. In those days, it was called Ma Bell. And I had a box and I said, watch me, and I'm leaving. And I packed up and I left. And I had every other person. I couldn't believe I had the nerve to do it. And those of you who have suffered with cancer and cancers and divorces, and your life has just been amazingly turmoil. We have to pursue something that gives us purpose in our life. Hello, 13 White Lotus. Hello, hello, all my ladies. All you girls have sent me sweet little notes, and I've just been so busy with other things. Anyway, let me give you the call in. Of course, I'd love to hear your voice if you want to call in for a minute. I promise I have my glasses on so I can see the board. Area code 347-205-9071. Anyway, the reason I've been so busy is, of course, tax time. Put a little extension in so I can work it, get it done. But I've been trying to develop some webcams. So you girls, if we may have another site coming up here where you can watch us talk, and I think that would be very fun. I even thought about turning my webcam around. I have the most beautiful area where I live in, and you can see the mountains of Arizona from my front porch. That's Pisces Lady. Thank you very much. 347-205-9071. If you want, go ahead and ask me questions about being a medium. The most important thing is, how do you identify you're in the presence of a spirit person? If you don't have the vision, but you have the feel of it, I find that our bodies are sensitive in different areas. My right side of my face, the cheek and the ear, and the side of my head is very sensitive to spirit connection. So the years that I wasn't seeking them out, they would touch me. One lady said to me, when my spirit people are around, how do I know? How do I know what they're doing for me? And we spoke of this on Spirit Guides on California Health, and last Monday night, I think I covered this too. I believe in what we call soul-to-soul communication. When I talk to you and access your time, I'm actually talking to your soul, and your soul is allowing me to access the middle of you to enter time. I was trying to think of the show. There was a show on recently, and he was talking about heart transplants, and they've realized and learned that the heart has an area within it as the brain where there's a multitude of nerve connections. They're wondering if the heart isn't also a thinking area. When the body's distressed, the heart talks to the brain. Now, what's really fascinating about this is that the entrance to your time, because I've done so many thousands and thousands of readings, is I embrace somebody around the upper shoulders and the throat. I feel like I'm going down the air pipe to about 2 or 3 inches down, just short of where the heart is. And that's where I access time. So I'm kind of wondering, there was a wonderful book, and I just purchased it, about a woman who had a heart transplant, and she was also covered, I believe, on Coast to Coast AM, and she got a hankering for Kentucky Fried Chicken little pieces. I don't know what it's called because I don't eat it, but she later found out, Kentucky Fried Chicken and beer, found out that the heart she got was from a young man, and when he was killed on his motorcycle, he had just purchased Kentucky Fried Chicken. So that's part of the heart memory that we get. But I also believe that the heart memory, popcorn chicken, there you go, girl. the Kentucky Fried Chicken in my part of the world, clear across town, so we just don't get that here. But so he's smiling. I love Kentucky Fried Chicken. But anyway, when she got her heart, she got that. So there's a memory, but I'm also wondering if there is not a connection with time, accessing time in the middle of her chest because of the heart area. Very fascinating new theory. I love these new theories. But anyway, so when I do a reading, I access time. But I'm not accessing time and looking to touch to a spirit person at the same time. So when I embrace somebody, I can't do a reading and access spirit level at the same. But I can't access time to talk to a person that lived in your past. Two distinct readings. One lady came to me and she had a photograph of a great-great-grandfather. So I entered her time to her parents' time, to his time, and could read him. I can also read a photograph, but I read it from the back. I turn it over and I touch it. Meaning that what people present to the world is not what they present to themselves or their family. So that's another way. Pisces Lady, my grandson loves popcorn chicken. That must be fun to watch. Oh, Lordy. How old is he? I just have. My son had his children late, and I have a 2-year-old and a 7-month-old now. 3 years old. That's a cute age. Anyway, I get off on track, and I'll have to try to get back there. So anyhow, when you do a psychic reading, you're directing your energy to time or to the individual to get information, or bridging to another person of their choice. But when you do a mediumship reading, you have to enter at the base of the neck into where the soul is and then branch out, because I believe there's a connection between your soul and the soul of people that come into the room and want to speak to you. Now, there's such a thing as a soul consult communication. So your spirit people will talk to your soul level to keep you on track and to give you help and information. They will not talk to you directly because you have to have free will. So your soul, or your inside person, I sometimes call it, will hint and tell you if something feels uncomfortable or not about what you're doing. So that's what I call soul-to-soul communication. That's different than my talking to the spirit people in your life. When I go to them, they have independent thought. Just like when Shar does a ghost investigation, the goal is not to have a spirit investigation of a house and find what we call residue communication, or a spirit that's actually a ghost and it's a pattern, or someone who cannot communicate. What we want is conscious communication. Now, does that mean that you can get electronic voice pattern from your spirit people? Absolutely. So those of you who want more proof than a psychic medium like myself to talk to your spirit people, this would be a great opportunity for you to learn that using a regular tape recorder, if that spirit person can focus and create this, absorb the energy from your light fixtures or your room. Remember, you do it best at night when the neighborhood is quieter, so that they can concentrate on that electronic magnetic tape. You also then can get communication from your spirit people. Wow, that'd be just fabulous for you. And in fact, I haven't done it in my own life. We also think that we put a tape recorder out in a cemetery, you're going to catch those people there. You can also do it in a quiet mall or a theater group. You could also do it in an empty field where old houses had been at one time. You could also do it in your own home. But that doesn't mean you're going to get your own family. Or does it mean you can, but you can't quite identify them as that person? Wow, that opens up a whole new thought process. All right, my dear. Let's see if there's any other questions. And you can call in if you're interested. See if I see another question. As far as the gift, this is interesting. My mother, about 10, 15 years ago, did admit that she has the gift. She has hits and can sense things. Now, her side of the family is American Indian, but I do acknowledge and say I do get the gift from my father. I think that it's the ability to turn most switches on easier than other switches. Have you known people who learn the piano playing very easily? Or those who can sing quicker and easier and remember stage lines? I think it's a gift. I think it's something that we're inherently into get. I can be an artist. I'm an artist, so is my sister. We're both, I'm a realist. Everything is exactly what it should be. My sister's an impressionist. She can sing, play the piano. I would like to play the piano. I will learn key per key, but I have to admit I'm not a very good singer. My father had the artistic gift. He could sing. He had the psychic and medium gift, which I had. So clearly, I look like my mother's side of the family, American Indians and cowboys, and my sister, who's a blue-eyed blonde, looks like my father's side, but she does not have the gift. So I think the ability to acquire the gift and then develop it swifter and cleaner versus some people who struggle at it. Let's see if there's another question. And, of course, there are people who have the gift who never say anything to anybody. I have a friend who passed away in 2001, and she ran with a crowd when she was younger that we would now associate as health angels. And she was telling me, and remember that was her youth, but Donna Vasquez, who died in Northern California, Sacramento in 2001, she once told me, she said, The gift will come to those who've inherited and can use it. It doesn't mean that you're a good person or a bad person. But she said to me, all people in all groups, all nationalities will have the gift. And those even to the wrong side of the law can have the gift. And she relayed to me a man who was a Hells Angel type of person, and he got away with a lot because he was very intuitive. So I find that fascinating that good people, we want to think that mediums as being good people and psychics, they can take every aspect of our society. From those who seem to be, and you'll know these people, who seem to be good at the stock market, those who play good at cards, those who, hot rodders, they know how to get away from people catching them in any way. But so there's all kinds of people that do this. How about a teacher that has a sense of a child needing help? Maybe she's very intuitive but doesn't know. How about the child that sees grandma and grandpa in the backyard while she's on the swing? You've heard of children say, I just seen grandma and grandpa. Doesn't mean they're going to be a reader or a medium. It means that they've been given a gift, an awakening early in life. Okay. And Sal, I think you also have a haunted house. We did that ghost busting in Sutter Creek. It was very, very fun. These blog rooms are so fun. You girls and my guys are all different colors. I have green, pink, fuchsia, and green and black. Hello, Greg Ghost One. Patrick and Sandy, hello, everybody. If you want to give me, I think I saw one website on here. I didn't want to lose it. Send me notes, everybody. Can only get so many at a time, it appears. So tonight's talk was understanding mediumship. So those of you that have missed the talk, how to discover it within yourself, clearly I was born with this psychic ability, but unknown to me was the ability to see spirit people, which I saw them as big, like a rotating orb. And I just dismissed it as part of the universe. In fact, I'd go places and I would duck. If I was going to walk in the mall or somewhere and I see this thing coming toward me, I stand aside. It probably, to other people walking around, probably thought it was kind of nuts. But my brain, my mind, was not in tune to the possibility of survival. So my brain shut off being able to see these things, including spirits. When are you coming back to California? Hello there. I'm actually coming back in July or some of that area. Watch my website. California Haunts is going to be putting a ghost convention together. And I have found a lady that will let me stay with her in Northern California. Remember, it's kind of hard just coming to town and paying a high motel bill so I can meet up with people. So summertime, I'll probably be doing that, okay? It's very difficult to travel 19 hours one way and then not know where you're going to sit and visit with people or whatever. So I may fly, and we'll see about that. Pisces, I'm doing fine, so I've been too moody today for whatever reason. Remember I was saying that, it's caught my eye. Remember I was telling you earlier, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a psychic and or a medium, you will pick up other people's emotionality. If you think of somebody and then you get sad, it's because they may be. So Pisces late may not be you. So we have to disown. And sometimes when that happens to me, I'm very easy to get along with, and all of a sudden I go, then I know it's not me. So I say I will not be and I will disown what is not mine. Pisces Lady thinks, she says, my husband doesn't think it is something else. My window cut off a few words there. I remember the people in our lives have to understand what's going on. When I married the man I'm with now, it'd be 5 years in May, he met me at East West Bookstore giving a talk on mediumship. So he understood that this can take over. And as I've gotten older, which is unfortunate, become more sensitive. So you have to understand the gifts more. One of the reasons I love living in the desert here is I don't have a busy neighborhood. I don't have the noise of clamor around me. And so you can also pick up. I remember when I was married, and then divorced. And I remember driving up and down the street, you know how you travel around. And I would look at a house, I look at somebody, and I would know their life. Not that I would say anything, but you have a sense of discord or unhappiness. A house where there'll be a new baby coming in. And I won't put this on the air. Someone says, hubby says, I'm not psychic, but I'm psycho. Ooh. Wow. You know, that's probably, I did the talk at the ghost-trackers.org 2008 convention, and I was speaking of a man that I helped do a rescue. And in the 1800s, people who experienced a lot of psychic ability and said this and that were oftentimes put into asylum asylums. Because if you could see spirit people or you knew other people's lives, boy, that was really spooky. And the spirit that I was rescuing was a man that was put in the basement of a asylum just off the Hudson River. And what he showed me is he died of pricking his finger on the middle gate there. And when he came back and visited a couple times, he got one time he collapsed and he died in there. And he was visiting those people who didn't fit in with the society of the rest of the people at the sanitarium or solarium. So that was very interesting that at one time we were considered psycho. And I remember I was telling somebody they would probably burn me at the stake if I'd been in Salem because I'm right over the edge. You know, so we all have to come to say, well, at one time in history we might have been my switchboard just disappeared. So hopefully I'm still on, everybody. Let me know if I'm not. Okay, I am. Oh, that was scary. So, so one time in history, up to this most recent 1900s, people who spoke to spirit people were kind of considered wackos. If it hadn't been the Fox sisters establishing, even in England, of course, late 1800s, communication was very common. But only until the 1900s was communication acceptable and not seen as psychotic. Okay, so you told me it would haunt him, yes? I've had actual people telling me, woman told me, she said, I'm telling my husband to come back and haunt me so I know it's him. Will you think he'll do that? I said, if you ask, you'll remember. Okay. Sybil, are you still on? 13 minutes left. Hi, everybody. I'm still on. If you can't hear me, if you can't hear me, you won't know. Any hearing problems, I'm going to type it. Do an F5. And any hearing problems, hit F5. A little nervous, a little caution, the last couple of shows with Char and myself, we had trouble with switchboard. I am very curious how many of you that are writing in, visiting me tonight, have had shows. I would love to have you tell me if you have a show. I am going around and I'm listening. I'm visiting you, ladies, but I haven't gotten to a place where I'm writing little notes. And I will get back and do that because this community is fabulous. Now, I'm also open to anybody who would like me to talk next time. I think we did cover shadow people. Anyway, so you kids are just visiting, but if you have a question, I'd like to call in before we end the show tonight. I'd be very, very excited to talk to you. We have 9 people there. Hello, everybody. Anyway, I'd like to get back to what I was speaking to. When we have mediumship skills, it often starts in childhood. How many people have had children say, there's someone in my room? That's very, very common to acknowledge that to a child. I've had a lady contact me whose child is suffering the after effects of past too close to past life memories. So it's same with a child that sees spirit people. We don't want them lose. My show is speaking of spirits. Oh, of course, Sybil, I've been visiting you. Absolutely. And when a child speaks of that, you want to encourage them, have them draw any picture or give any description. You either take a card, you write it up, and you remind them, have you visited with this person? There should not be fear. If there's fear, then the child needs to be strong to say, I don't wish to visit with this person. Around the ages of 5 to 8, they lose the ability or the interest or the real world comes into them and they say, I'd rather not do that. So we want to remind our children that it's okay to be psychic, to have mediumship skills, because then as they get older, they'll grow into people that can help others. There's too few. My girlfriend, Connie, I'm not sure if she's listening tonight, she says, Nancy, you're one in a million. But look how many billions of people we have on the planet. How many millions are there? And I take that as a fair compliment, but yet, look at all the girls that have written in and gentlemen who have the gift. So to greater or lesser degrees, wouldn't have been wonderful that at 5, 6, 7, someone would have said to Nancy, and you can go ahead, define Chunky Monkey from Ben and Jerry. Oh, you kids are so fun. I kind of like the cherry and chocolate one, and I don't know what that's called. It's been a while. Have you, yes, Sybil, wonderful. Have you ever been visited by spirit who need your help and then leave before you have time to receive the message? When I really started, I opened up to receive information from spirit. And that's when I said, be sure you have a foundation of who you are. I was overwhelmed by spirit people who need to be rescued. And I had people clamoring, and it seemed to be that I would get such distraught. It very much upset me. I hear children, I hear women. The strongest, heaviest would sometimes become part of me, and transfigurations would happen. I stopped that. There's only so much I can do. These shows that represent a medium and ghost whisperer, when they go in, they actually can hear the names of people and locations and how they died. Wow. You know, I don't know if I could get to that place. Do I have enough life force to be able to track down family and really help them? Of the ones I've had could help, when I saw their family trying to get their attention, and I say, turn around, who's that person? And I see that woman with blonde hair. I said, is that your mother? Sometimes that would do it. Absolutely. At some point, I don't know if I could do it all. So I know that I can help the living to a greater degree than I can help the people who need to be rescued. When I first started, I must have written up. I had help, got into trance, and actually accepted information. They do pictures. We got logs. The gentleman that died in the solarium actually found that on the map, old 1800s map. So we did do some research, did find some stuff out. Once they know that we understand who they are, then they believe us, and they'll be receptive to our information of them to pass over. You have to get the attention of a spirit that's stuck and needs to be rescued. Now, as far as people coming to me to give a message to a client, that happens a lot. But what's the trouble is some people coming to me have relatives in different languages. So I hear it interpreted in the way I can in my own language, or they talk too fast and you only have bits and pieces. The best way to give messages is to just relax and get an overall feeling, and I give it the best I can. Sometimes what I find really fascinating is I'll use exact verbiage, and I don't know how they can press upon me to use slang. I gotcha. I had a woman who visited with me and then introduced her aunt and uncle. And then when the uncle died, the aunt called me, and he showed me pictures of him driving his Cadillac. The top was down, his arm was over the bay, and he was howling, howoo, and actually howoo, just like he would do when he was with her and alive. I'm not sure how that works. I almost wonder if they don't pick over my voice box. So there has been some times when I've actually used exact verbiage or a sound or a gesture. One time I was talking to somebody, and it's almost like a clap, and then put my hand in the air, and I just did it spontaneously. And the person I was sitting with, that was something this gentleman did all the time. Kind of like, I'm not sure how, if anybody's listening that knows of this, a clap and then a hand in the air like, yahoo. And that individual, exactly, that was the same gesture, that spirit person. So I think Arthur Ford was a spirit communicator medium. But he found his abilities easier if he had something to drink. Now, I'm a teetotaler. I do like wine once in a while, very rarely. Margarita, but it's so much work, I won't do it. But I really am a teetotaler. But I wonder if we let our resistance down, that we receive easier. So I don't encourage drinking, but when I'm very relaxed, or I'm sometimes a little tired even, when I have spirit communication, if I relax enough, that spirit can impress upon me very, very clearly a word, a gesture. That's the ultimate. Okay, a child can handle serious magic, but psychic ability should be opened up and trained as a child. And the way to train it is the same as a child suffering from past life intrusions at a very early age. And one of these shows I'll talk to, see if I can get Amy on. She's fascinating. She's dealing with a child who has memories of being killed in a car accident. And what you do is you just talk to the child and have the child tell you a story of the before time, or tell a story of spirit people visiting them. Put on audio tape. So when the child's adult, you bring back those memories and bring back the ability to have communication. Always play down being scared. Always play up how wonderful it is they have the gift. So that's the training. Serious magic, don't make a boo-boo out of it. Make a wonderful out of it. Also, if they're able to draw, anything you can keep, put it in the trunk, plastic baggie it, and keep it forever. When you communicate at a higher level, you will always yawn and fight sleep. You know, I think you do at the end. When I'm reading a lot, people, I'm revved up. I like giving lectures 2 to 3 hours, and I can talk and talk and talk. But an hour after, when I shut down the ability to do this, I calm down, I can get tired. Now, after this, given this hour, like you, it'll take me a couple hours to turn the energy down, because it really energizes me. How can adults that are sensitive build on those gifts other than meditation? Wow. When I first started the Spirit of Grace, they all thought, well, meditation is the key to everything. I don't believe that. Meditation slows me down. Having a hot cup of coffee gets me revved up. I get excited. So I believe that the intent is everything. The intent to do something, learning to turn on, turn off, and being able to do it is just as important. The only thing that meditation gives you is not to be able to do the gift, but to learn who you are. Sometimes if you just relax and just watch your breathing and learn you, identify who you are, but you don't also have to do that through meditation. I hate to admit I don't meditate. I sometimes will take a minute before reading and collect myself, but maybe some people need more time. It's because your higher self connecting is aware and you're training your lower self-conscious mind to let go and help other self take over. Absolutely. The human part of Nancy is not as smart as the psychic higher self. People who know me, I have a friend named Paula. She's listening. Hello, dear. She said to me one time, I know when Nancy's psychic, her vocabulary is better. So I believe higher self steps up, blends with Nancy, the human being, and takes off. It takes a very lot of energy to do readings. When I first started, I could only do an evening, and I was tired for a couple of days. After 2 years, I was given reading. When I quit, I was reading every day. Most of you know me from Northern California. I would do a fair or group every week. I would work a fair 8 hours. I talked to 22 to 24 people in 15-minute slots all day. And then I still wouldn't get to bed until 10 o'clock. The energy of the universe speeds me up. But the next day, I wouldn't talk because it would take my voice. So I think it's the building up of energy. To be fair to people, I like to limit my readings to 4 a day. Today, I did 5, 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes. So I spread them out so I can give you the best. Because I have a life, I'm really pretty busy with other things, too. We've got 1 minute, everybody. I have really enjoyed talking to you. Write me a little note if you want me to talk about something in particular. Pisces, I can't imagine because practice tarot cards drains you. Maybe you need a better focus, concentrate on somebody, and allow the energy of the excitement to come part of you, but you need to do it every day for a couple hours and build up. So like being an athlete and learning and running. I was a long-distance runner. I would start half a mile to a mile on weekends. This is when I was married before I got cancer. My weekend run would be 16 to 20 miles. And it would take me 4 hours. But you build up to that. Okay? Hello, Sybil. Thank you very much. I love you, too. You girls and gentlemen are so interesting. I am so grateful to be part of the Blog Talk Radio, and I look forward to doing one with Char every Sunday. Right now it's 5. It could be 6 o'clock. And then Char has asked that I be possibly on her show twice a month. The only thing is it does take a lot of energy, so hopefully we can just keep this going and just enjoy each other's company. We've got 29 seconds left. I'm sorry to not mention my website. It is my name, nancymatz.com. if I could find more time, I would like to write the three books that I've listed. They all have three. I have three different websites, three books I'm writing. And then I'm also trying to create, and I know that MySpace, girls are getting after me for not keeping up my blog, and I will do that. There's another one I'd like to join. It's called I Am Haunted, to give more ghost infestations.
Love Talk Radio.
All right, everybody. Good night. Till next week.